Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner ran track and cross country all through middle and high school, but running took a backseat once she got to college until a rough stretch with her mental health brought her back to it. Unfortunately, that stretch didn't last long. In a rough turn of events right before a half marathon, she caught COVID and it wrecked her cardiovascular health so badly her heart rate would spike just from walking across campus. She had to step away from running almost entirely for about 2 years until after a move to Boston, when she started easing back in and eventually landed a charity spot in the Chicago Marathon through the American Heart Association. She leaned on her middle school track coach to help piece together a training plan and got a crash course in gels and salt tabs from her friends along the way. Her Chicago experience went extremely well because of the mindset she had going into training to just take it slow and treat this like a learning experience. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Please welcome Sierra. Sierra, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm super excited to talk to you and break down your first marathon, which was a big one, Chicago Marathon, back in 2025. But before we get started, just thank you so much for coming on. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, we always start from the beginning. So where did movement start for you, or where did kind of your running journey kick off?
Yeah, so movement started for me kind of in my family. Everyone's kind of athletic. My parents are athletes. My mom's like super ripped. She's a runner as well. A lot of my cousins run. Everyone kind of just like has movement as like part of their routine and everything. So introduced to it from a young age. But I played sports in like elementary and middle, and then I didn't start running until middle school. And I did it like as an intro in middle school, just for fun, because my friends were doing it, and then really fell in love with it like late middle school, ran through high school, and then kind of stopped a little bit in college, and then I picked it back up a year and a half ago-ish, and then started training for Chicago. So it's been a bit of an off and on, but I've always loved like being active and moving and stuff.
Fun. What like inspired you to choose running at like such a young age versus, you know, some of the other sports that you might have grown up with?
Well, I did like dance and MMA, which is a very weird pairing when I was younger, but, I would always run with my mom, and I didn't really love it when I was younger. It was just kind of like I love walking. Do we have to run now? Like, are you serious? But Then I started to get into it, just recreationally, just for fun. And then I really had like a great coach. He was like very like gentle about running, and like, it was all the fun, the team environment. And we would run, there's a bunch of local trails where I'm from in Georgia. So it was nice to like be able to run like on all the battlefield trails that were right outside my house. So it just became very accessible and very fun for me. And then I just kind of started growing in my running journey.
Love that. Very cool. So what did you do running all the way through? Did you say high school and then beyond, or where did your running journey kind of take you from there?
Yeah. So I ran throughout high school, and I did track and cross country, and then I didn't run in college. I wish I would have like more recreationally, but I kind of quit cold turkey after my senior year of high school. I was like a COVID graduate, so there was no like running clubs. If I had graduated in like an off year, I totally would have done that, I think. But then I just stopped running. And then my sophomore year of college, I was like dealing with some mental health struggles, and I was like, well, I have one thing I really love to do, and that's running. So I'll start back up, start training for a half. And then, at the end of the like training block, I was like feeling really good, getting back into it, kind of reconnecting with a lot of my running friends from high school. I got COVID, and it like destroyed my heart health. And then I also got skin cancer and had to have that removed the week before the race. So I ended up running the race, but it like obviously didn't go great. And then kind of stopped after that again. So then I took like two years off. And then when I moved back up to Boston, or back up, I wouldn't move, but when I moved to Boston, it was just really accessible because everybody runs here. And I just started like hearing things about my friends. They're like all running and everything. And I was like, you know what? Like, if there's ever a time to get back into running, like my heart stuff had kind of slowed down because it was like 2 years past that. And I felt like I was in a good place mentally to start again. I just started running casually. And then, of course, the next casual thing would be to sign up for a charity spot with Marathon. And so luckily, American Heart Association loved that, and like my heart story. So, they offered me a spot for the Chicago race last year, and I started training for that. I trained for like a year because I spent like multiple months just like building a base. And then like got into my block like last summer and had a great time, and then signed up for Berlin. So
Love it. Cool.
Here we are.
It steamrolls really quickly for sure. Yeah. I guess like whatever you're comfortable talking about with some of your health stuff, like what was that experience like with, like COVID and what it did to your running at the time?
Yeah. So pretty much a lot of my family's in California. So but the week before my race, I was visiting my family in California. And I guess I had contracted COVID on the plane there, the plane back or something. I didn't feel it because I was asymptomatic. And I didn't know any of this at the time. It was all unknown to me. And, you know, I hadn't really heard much about like long COVID, like you hear it. And I'm like, you know, like you never really know what that means. So I was unsure about it. But I came back from California and I like felt a little off the week leading up to the training. But I was like, look, I'm just nervous. I haven't run a race in like 3 years at that point. It's been forever. So I just kind of shoot it off and I was running 2 miles a day. So, cause you're tapering and I took that taper hard. So, And then during the race, I was like going at a really solid pace. I felt really good. And then at mile 7 or 8, I started looking at my heart rate and it was like really, really crazy high, but I was like, it's just nerves. It's not my actual effort. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But then at mile 8 or 9, I just literally stopped and I could not run anymore. And I didn't know what was wrong. I had mild asthma in high school, but that's been under control forever. So, and I was like, I know it's not my asthma. Something's weird. And I ended up having to walk run the rest of the race. And my heart rate, through the walk run was 175. So then I was like, I know something's wrong, but no one else seemed to know what was wrong. Just cause that's such an anomaly, you know?
Sure.
And I was just all I could provide was something was wrong and my heart rate was high. And everyone's like, well, you know, you're just out of shape. I'm like, okay, I'm not, I know what running shape looks like.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, my mom took me to a cardiologist and had a couple, you know, I did the fitness test where they put you on the incline treadmill and you run. That was really hard. But
VO2 max kind of thing.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
But he
was like, I've only seen this a couple times. You might have long COVID. Were you traveling? And I was like, well, I was traveling before. So, he just said that there was no research at the time and there still isn't enough research now. So he was like, it just took away all your cardiovascular fitness in the week that you had it. So I guess it just reduced its ability to be vulnerable to training, I guess. So
yeah.
That's probably not the right scientific way to put it. I think it just took some of the elasticity out of my cardiovascular endurance. So, that was tough. And he was like, your heart rate will probably return to normal in a year or two. But again, there wasn't really research. So he was just kind of good luck and keep it easy. And I would go around walks on my campus. At the time I was at Georgia Tech as a sophomore or junior summer. And my heart rate would be 165, 170 from walking.
Crazy.
At a very slow pace, conversational. So
yeah,
I stopped working out for a good bit, but that was tough to just kind of come back from. Cause I was running was a escape from my mental health stuff in college. And then immediately I was all right, well, on to the next, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of that story.
Oh, that's so tough. That's weird. Crazy that elevated heart rate, walking at a conversational pace, I'm sure was just weird and a weird feeling.
Yeah. I'd always be, I'm sure my friends got annoyed with me, but I'd be like, oh, let's play the heart rate game. What's your heart rate at? Mine would always be 170. They're you need to stop walking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's crazy. So I guess how much time passed from when you stopped because of that to when you kind of picked up your, or decided that you were going to train for something else?
2 years at least.
Okay.
I started working out a little bit my senior year of college. I would do spin classes with one of my friends. Cause I love cardio based endurance and classes like that. So I wanted to still be in that world. It was kind of a gentle reentry. So yeah. And then when I moved up to Boston in September 24, and then I started running not very consistently at the time, but I started running again.
Okay, cool. And things were feeling heart rate was lower, or were you pushing through some of the symptoms still?
I started off a lot slower than I would think that I should. Mm. It was hard to be look at the paces from when I was running my sophomore year of college and from high school, and I'm wow, I'm coming so slow. But I think that slow, gentle, all what should be zone 2, but it was zone 3 or 4, just kind of getting my body used to it a little slower than what I would ideally I think that really helped it.
Gotcha. Well, cool. So you got back to it. And did you say that that's when you decided to run your marathon? Like you came back and you were like, you know what? No more halves. We're going for the whole thing.
Like, yeah. I think I applied for the spot, I think a year before, or no, it was like 10 or 11 months. So I think it was like right after my birthday in November. And then I applied for the October the next year, and I found out in like, I want to say December or January, that timeline might be off, but it was less than a year before. Then I was like, well, way to get back into running. So
yeah, I was gonna say, like, what inspired you? Like, was there a moment where you were like, you know what, I haven't been able to run for this amount of time, like I'm just gonna go ahead and send it? Or like, what was like the decision to run a marathon like?
Well, I think I was like all right with the concept of walk running the marathon.
Sure.
And like, if I had to run like a 6.5 hour marathon, like that's going to be awesome and I'm going to do it. And I have to walk the whole thing. That's awesome. Like, I just wanted to do a marathon because I'd already done a half, and like mentally I knew I had to get over that like 13.1 boundary for me to like recognize that I was doing something new. Cause I, on like shorter runs, I find myself like comparing myself to my past self. So I'm like, you know what? This is new. I've never done anything like this before. I've never run over like 2 hours in my life. So like starting to get back into it. And I was like, well, you know what, if I can't run the whole thing, that's okay. And it doesn't matter. Like, it's my first marathon and potentially my last, like, you never know. So I just had really low expectations for myself. And just kind of set like the experience bar high. Just wanted to make sure it was a positive experience for me. And I just like really enjoyed every second of it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I think that obviously we'll find out how the marathon went. It sounds like it went pretty well. But I think that's the experience that a lot of first marathoners miss is like that this is your first marathon. This is going to be your PR. Like, enjoy the experience. The training itself, it, like, is the marathon is like a blip in time compared to the training block. So like, yeah, like exactly. have a good time, take the pressure off. And then, you know, when we think about this like long-term relationship with running, I feel like starting your journey, quote unquote, even though you had been running before that, like for the marathon is a great launch point to like building a longer term relationship. So sure. I love that. What were some of the runs that you remember? You said that like the charted territory for you was the half marathon or those runs leading up to the half marathon. What were those first few runs like where you were kind of like pushing beyond, you know, that what you were comfortable with?
I would say I did, I think like a 15 and a 16. I was lucky. I, met my friend Emily, who I'm about to live with in a couple months or couple weeks, shout out. But I met her in like May, and she had done like 3 marathons before that. So she was super knowledgeable about the topic. And so I was able to run with her for like most of my long runs and, or at least like a few miles in the middle. And then 15 and 16, I was really like, wow, like this is something totally new. I've never done this before. My 16 miler was like altogether just like awful and terrible. I did 8 and then I felt so bad. I came home and laid down for 30 minutes and then I went back out and did the other 8. But
good for you going back out. I don't know if I could do, I don't know if I make it back out.
It was a tough one. I looking back, I'm like, I don't know why I did that. Like right now I would have just laid down and stayed down.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think those were memorable ones. And then my first like 20 miler, I was like, wow, like this is insane. Like, how did I just do that? Obviously I like didn't move for like 48 hours after that, but you know, that's its own story. But, I did a couple halves at the beginning of the summer. One, I did the Run to Remember, just like a local race in Boston. I was like low expectation. I think I told like my roommate that I was running it and that it like, and that's it. But, and then a week after that, I did a half in San Diego with my family. We did like the Rock and Roll half marathon. All together. I ran with my mom and then my aunt and some other friends were like behind us. So, that was really fun to like run all together and just kind of get that momentum, like starting my block from that of like being around the race environment. And one of my friends was able to like come out and hang out with us and like cheer us on. So that was just like a fun kind of start being like, okay, like I really am in the mindset. At that point I had hit my fundraiser goal for Chicago. So I was like, I'm going to do this. This is going to be awesome. So that was kind of a good way to kickstart the block.
Love that. That's cool. So I guess like, how did you piece together the plan? Was it like a paper plan or an app or a coach? What were you following through, this block?
I like piece together different stuff. I've been using the Hal Higdon, plans, like the intermediate I'm using now, but kind of basing off of very roughly. And then I think I used one of the beginner plans last year. My middle school track coach. I'm super, super close to them now. He was like a great influence to me and still like is. He's run a bunch of marathons and it's just like, he runs like 60 mile weeks. every week, which is just so incredible. And he's been doing it for so many years. And so he's just super knowledgeable on the topic. So whenever I'm like thinking about doing a plan, I send it to him and I'm like, hey, how's this look? Or like, I'll go on a run with him and be like, okay, like, what do you think my run should be? Do you think I should do 220s or a 20 and a 21? So I have like eyes on it. So I'm not just like making it up in my head, but it also helps that I have like historically run for so long and I'm like in tune with how my body's feeling. Obviously the marathon, like I have so much more to learn. But I think I would rather stray on like the side of like not overtraining than overtraining, but I loosely base it on like historically proven, like, Hal Higdon, like older plans rather than like the newer ones.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think that the best plans are the ones that you can kind of like, you have the bones of it from somewhere, but then you can piece together stuff that, to make it work for you.
Exactly.
So yeah, I love that you stayed in touch with your middle school track coach. That's awesome that you guys kept in touch for so long.
Yeah, I was like, I'm lucky I've had like such great coaches in, obviously I didn't run in college, so like that would probably be like the most prominent coach for somebody, but my middle school and high school coaches were just so lovely. And like, I stay most in touch with him, but then like, my high school coach, I also like still runs and everything. So
love that. Yeah. Well, cool. And I know that what, like, there's a big difference obviously for fueling your body, especially in middle school and high school, cause you're a lot younger, but like, fueling your body for track, and then fueling your body for like a marathon. What were you learning about like fueling and taking gels and stuff like that, through your marathon block?
I had to like learn everything. Like I was totally unfamiliar with gels. I think for my half, I did like the little gummies and stuff in college, but I really wasn't that serious about it. So I didn't really worry about it. And I've always had like good people around me talking about like, you know, you need carbs before the run and like carbs the night before and like some like good protein sources. So I like fueling outside of the actual running never like was a huge issue for me, but the gels, I was like totally unfamiliar. So I had to like rely on a lot of my friends and like do research myself, but that was totally new territory. And now I'm used to them a little bit, but last fall I was like, I don't want to take the gels. Like that's so gross, but yeah, now it's fine, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, that was just totally, totally new territory. That's one of the things that I was just like, I don't know anything about this. So like, tell me everything, you know?
Yeah. What do you feel like you learned? I feel like that's the question I get asked the most, like from first marathoners, is like, how do I dial in fuel? How do I know what works for me? How do I, you know, all of that? What were you learning at the time that you feel like really, really helped you in that area?
Well, I think I do, when I say research, I mean going on Reddit, but I think I did a lot of research and like talking to my friends about like the intervals of like taking the gels. And I think what I do now is I take them around like every 4 miles. That's like a little under 40 minutes for me. And I've kind of kept with that because like, as the intensity has gone up a little bit, like from last year, I've like sped up a little bit. So it's kind of like proportional. Cause I wasn't like, my heart rate wasn't as high, last year, but like now it's a little bit higher. So now I take them more frequently, but I take them every 4. And then in between those 4, every 2, I take a little like salt tab. I didn't discover the salt tabs until like halfway through my last marathon block. I think my friend Claire introduced me to them, I think. And she's super knowledgeable with that because she ran a marathon like before I did. So I was like, these are a game changer. They're like little electrolyte. So I just have a snack every 2 miles. That's what I like make my brain think. So I have just like a very structured, like every 2 miles. It gets tough like on the long runs because it's like, like today, for example, I went out and I did one less than I was going to just because I, you know, rationalize it in my head and it's fine. But then I like had to switch up my fueling like halfway through. But I don't take it that seriously. I'll take like half and then like run with it for a second and like take the other half if I like think I'm taking it too early. But I normally do like just very structured.
Love that. Yeah. And I think it changes and evolves over time too, to your point. Like every run's going to be a little bit different the further in your journey, and like what works on your stomach's going to change. So it's an ever evolving journey for sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And then you said that like when you got into some later miles, like your 18, 19, like 20 mile runs, when you were getting towards the end of the block, that I think you said it took you a long time to recover. I guess like talk to us about some of those later runs and what those experiences were like.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've incorporated like in my training block now versus what I wish I would have done last year is I've really just like learned more about like the time on your feet thing. And last year I didn't do any like long runs with any like pace targets or anything last year. It was simply just like making it to the end just because that's what I wanted to do with the marathon, which was very like what I should have done. And so I'm glad I did that. But I would just like kind of stop and then just like lay down. And so I think I just like inadvertently trained my body to like get used to that. And so now what I started doing, like after my long runs, I'll make sure I leave like a little bit of space to like walk home or like walk a lap and go get like a Gatorade or something. So my body's like used to like keep going after fatiguing. So I'm glad I incorporated that. But last year, I think it was just like, my body was just like kind of in shock every time I would do a long run. I was also not good about doing like a mid distance run, like throughout the week, like throwing like a 8 miles or like a 7 miles, like even if it's just like tacking on an extra mile, like on a cool down from a little workout, like I think that makes like a bigger difference than I knew of at the time. So like my long run was like the longest run of the week, like by so, so far. And now it's like, it's obviously the longest run of the week. But it's not like, you know, 18 versus like five. So it's, sure. I've kind of learned to like close the gap a little bit. And it's like, I think it's worked, like paid off in dividends.
Yeah, I think that there's like two things that people usually recommend. It's it like you said, it's the like slower cool down mile after you do like a harder effort, or I love to program like strides or something after even some of those like mid distance runs during the week. And like it just teach anything to teach your body to keep doing something hard when it doesn't want to do something hard. It's like so unbelievably valuable. Yeah. That's I feel like for most people, it's the difference between like bonking at 20 and like being able to get to 26, being able to like push yourself. And then mentally too, do you feel like it helped your I think it will but do you feel like that's helped your mental at all, like the being knowing that you can push through something when you're already feeling tired?
I think so, and I think I did that on purpose a lot, like throughout my block. I especially did it last year, but like obviously gonna do it this year as well. I think I did like a Hyrox relay during like halfway through the block, or no, it was actually like 3 weeks before, which is very, why did I do that? And then the day after I ran like 6 miles. And so I was like, okay, like in my mind, like I've only done 20. I did something hard. My legs were so, so sore after that because I did it on a whim. And I did 6 miles the day after just to like train my brain to like, okay, like you've done this before. Now you can do six more. And so like even now I'll do like a little like 0.1 extra, 0.2 extra just so I'm not like stopping at the mile or like I'll walk. So I think just like training my brain to not get used to just like stopping and like you said, like bonking at 20, and just like keeping going, or I'll do my pace miles at the end of the long run. Or I love to walk after. It's like the best reward, after you're like moving and I'm running and I'm like, wow, like I cannot wait to walk home after this. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That's cool. And then what was taper like for you? Did you do like a 2 week or a 3 week taper, and yeah, how'd you feel through it?
I did a 3 week taper. I talked to some people about like what I should do. I did my longest run last year was 20. And so that was like very, very significant for me, but it also like I said, like took a toll on my body. So I think just like a 3 week taper, cause I would rather just not totally like fatigue myself and just like take that extra time to recover. I think was my decision point behind that. But yeah, I enjoyed the 3 week taper. I felt like really weird. Cause I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like I'm running all these like low mileage. I did like a little 2 mile speed workout and I was like, that's it. Like I'm worried, but I was texting my friends. I was like, is this normal? And everyone's like, yes, that's normal. Like be quiet. Like you're fine.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, I did enjoy it, but yeah, it was weird at first, but now I kind of know what to expect a little bit. So
That's the whole thing with the first marathon. I know I've talked about it a lot, but it's like you just like have no context when you're running your first marathon. You don't know if like when a run doesn't go well, if that's because you can't run a marathon or because, you know, that's just how it goes. When you're in taper, you don't know if you should be feeling weird or if that's just how it goes. So yeah, it's just like the lack of context that you have in a second marathon.
I also think that
it's
like
very strange.
Yeah, it was very weird. I also think that, like, making my own plan, like, obviously I didn't, like, write it from scratch, but, like, kind of adjusting my own variables, I was like, well, like, we'll see if this works. Like, I was kind of, I only have myself to blame if this doesn't go well, you know? Like, not in a performance standpoint, but from, like, a training standpoint, I was like, well, like, I guess I should have followed a plan, but it ended up like working out fine. But I was like, well, if I'm nervous, it's literally on me.
It's on me, yeah. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about race day. So you were going to or traveling to Chicago, and you were in Boston or Massachusetts at the time. So like some logistics there, I guess. Yeah. Talk to us about like the week leading up and what all kind of went into getting to Chicago and all that.
Yeah, it worked out great. My roommate is actually from Chicago, so I was able to go like a little bit early, and like work from home from her parents' house, which is in the Chicago suburbs. I don't remember the exact neighborhood because I've only been to Chicago like twice now, but I really enjoyed the area. It was fun. I got to work from home one day, go on like the Thursday night, just like to get a couple days of like no travel and just like working from home and just relaxing. And then a lot of my family flew in on, I think, Friday or Saturday. I had my mom there, I had my aunt and uncle there, and then I had a couple friends who like lived in the Midwest like come drive in to see me. So I had like a pretty solid cheer squad. And we got like a hotel near, I thought I was more close to the start line. It was like 2 miles away, which was totally fine, except for the walk after the marathon. And that's when I was like, I need to start walking. So, but yeah, it was actually like really perfect. Yeah, I got to save some money on lodging by my roommate letting me stay at her parents' house, and she, I mean, she came too to cheer me on. But yeah, I like Chicago. I had a great time.
Awesome. Cool. So no, nothing too crazy for race morning. Did you have to walk the 2 miles to the start line in the morning, or did you take like a shuttle or Uber or anything
We
like
took
that?
the train. Yeah, we took the L. It was like, I think it was like 2 stops. So it was super easy, like walking a little bit. But I just kind of used that as my warm up. And my charity was gracious enough to like, I don't know, I think it was a multi-charity thing, but they had a table in like this recovery zone. So you'd go there before and like sit on the ground and like stretch. They had food and like bathrooms and like stuff to like kind of like get your stuff together a little bit before the marathon. And I like bag dropped there. And so I just had a couple moments like to myself once my like mom dropped me off to like chill out and like go to the bathroom and sit and like listen to my music a little bit before I like went to the start line. So that was,
Nice.
it was a great experience. I was so lucky that my charity did that.
Yeah, charities, I mean, obviously fundraising adds a whole other layer to marathon training, but if you have the means to do it, like I think it's so such a great way to run a world major. You get to do it for something that you care about, and like you said, you get your own private bathroom with like a lot less people, and usually there's food involved, and yeah, it's like it definitely is a great experience. I ran Chicago as well. I fundraised for American Cancer Society, and they had like a similar little tent sort of set up and everything. It was great.
It was a great way to do it,
Really, really recommend it if you have the time and the means to fundraise. It's a good way to go. Well, cool. Well, let's break down the race. So you get to the start line, you're about to get started. I know the waves always kind of take a while to like really kick off, but once you started running, I guess talk to us about how the first like half of the marathon went.
Yeah, so I had like my like shakeout clothes and like my warm ups. I threw them off, and then this girl next to me let me like borrow her phone charger, her like phone bank, which was so nice. Obviously, I have no idea who she was, but I used that. So my phone was on full battery like the whole time. I had
Oh,
like the
that's great.
shocks, like the over ear headphones. I had music playing the whole time. I felt good the first little bit. I kind of just like started off slow and like kind of worked my way in. I was a little worried because my heart rate was a little high, but obviously I was just like nervous and like very excited. So I was kind of getting like, I was like, I don't know if I should be worried about my heart rate right now. I'm like, okay, I can't focus on that. Like, I'm gonna be led down a rabbit hole. So yeah, my heart was a little higher than I was used to, but I felt good. I felt solid. I didn't start like speeding up a little bit until like the second half of the race, but I just felt like very even. I like to weave around people in the race. I think it's fun. I think it's like Mario Kart. I know that like bothers a lot of people, and like it is just like a little bit extra energy, but like, as long as you're not like, dashing across and doing like zigzags, I feel like it's kind of fun. Or at least that's how I like to think about it. In the bigger races. But yeah, I felt good, felt solid. I saw my family like mile 3, and then I saw them at the half point. There was like a couple bridges that we had to run over. I mean, you've done Chicago, there are bridges. I didn't mind the bridges because someone told me to run on the carpets, which that was a
Yes. Oh
great
my gosh.
tip. So
Someone
if you're
told me that
running
too.
Chicago, run on the carpets, on the bridges. But yeah, I thought the bridges were fun. Obviously I'm used to running on bridges in Boston. So, saw my family at the half point, and they did like, I had like a fuel f fueling station. They gave me electrolytes and like, we're putting like the salt tabs in my mouth. I was like, okay, this is great, guys.
Little pit stop.
But yeah, that was fun.
Awesome, cool. Yeah, the bridges, the carpets on the bridges trick, it was a great tip. I think somebody also told me to follow the line, like I forget what
Oh
color it was.
yeah.
It was like a red line. I guess it's like the quote unquote quickest, but I can tell
Yeah.
you, even the races where I've been so dialed in with not like trying to swerve around people, I still end up at like 26.5. So I like
It's just
might
the
as well.
nature of it. Like, you can't avoid it. Might as well make it fun.
You have to. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And then, so the second half of Chicago 2025, I remember, was it started to get a little hot in the second half of the race. So, yeah, talk to us about how like 14 to 26.2 went.
I think I was just like super lucky. And I think this is part of my mindset of like being from the South and doing a lot of like my historical running in the South is like, I just think I have this mindset of like, I've run in the heat before. Like, this is nothing. Even if it's not, I think just like having that mindset and being like, oh, I've run in the heat before. Like I can do this. I think just like having that just like hammered in my head, I really didn't notice the heat at all, to be honest. Like, I think the really, really tough part for me for the marathon was the out and back at, I think it's 22 and 24, where you can see. Because I got at 22 and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing so good. I feel so amazing. Obviously, I wasn't. But like I feel great, like making myself smile to get the endorphins. And then I see 24 and I'm like, I wish I was at 24. And so the second I saw that, I was like, wow, I just wish I wouldn't have looked at that. But I saw my family like right after. So it was like very, very good timing. I also went in the biofreeze zone where they spray biofreeze in your lips. Amazing. That was awesome. That was great. And then like, I think I hit like a wind spot right after the biofreeze, and then it was like freezing cold on my legs. So maybe that's why I didn't notice the heat, but
yeah, that's really nice. Yeah.
But like all throughout Chicago, like the crowds were amazing. I saw one of my coworkers in the first half of the race, but like all the neighborhoods, I don't really know any of the neighborhoods cause I haven't really been there a lot, but all the neighborhoods were so lively and like the spectators were awesome. And everyone was cheering. So It was a really cool experience. I was just like taking it all in. I had my music on, but like the shocks let you hear like your surroundings. So I was like very kind of tuned into what was going on.
Love that. Cool. And then I guess like after mile 20, well, you said that 22 to 24 kind of like turnaround, also in the direct sun, by the way, which is also like,
yeah,
really planning that.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
Let's put the race directors on the phone.
I know. It's just brutal. But yeah, after that, like the last, you know, two to four ish miles, like sounds like you didn't really hit the wall, but what was the experience like having to push through, you know, a distance that you hadn't, hit before?
I think it was, I also would say I didn't really hit the wall. I also didn't really have, like, a super, like, tough pace target that I wanted to hit. Obviously, I did, like, end up coming in, like, right under 4 hours. So, that was kind of, like, my A goal coming in. But I honestly, like, told myself I wanted to go sub 4:30 a couple months before. And then, like, I ran my last long run. I was like, you know what? Like, I was running my long runs at, like, 9:10, 9:15. So, I was like, I think I could go, you know, sub 4. I'm not sure. Again, like, I had no idea. So, I think just kind of the lack of expectation really helped with that. And I was like, I had vocalized it before. I was like, I could just totally falter after 20. Like I've never done it before. So I had zero expectations. Obviously I got like a little mentally hard at the end. I wasn't in the pain cave for too long. Cause I was just able to stop and like see my family one more time before I left, for the finish line. But yeah, I think I just like, I just took it all in and I didn't, I think I could have like where my fitness was at. I think I could have just like gone a little faster, but again, what's that to nitpick my past self? Like, I think I just had a great experience and I wasn't just totally hammered on the pace. Like I let myself stop. I let myself look around. Like I would walk past all the, like the water stations. So yeah, I didn't, I think I slowed down a little bit on one of those miles just to like chill before the last mile, but yeah, I didn't really have like, I think the lack of pace targets really avoided the wall for me.
Yeah, that's great. And then what was the finish line like, crossing the finish line of the Chicago Marathon?
It was awesome. It was so beautiful. The little hill right before the finish was like kind of funny. I was like, what? I was like, I thought this was flat. But I was like, okay, it's like 2 seconds long. But I always listen to the same song on the last like 0.2, 0.3 of my run. So I like put that on because I actually held my phone the whole time, which was kind of, I don't know why I did that, but I was like texting people during it. My friend is like, oh, like how far are you? I'm like, oh, I'm a mile 15. She's like, get off your phone. What? Oh, whatever. But I like had my phone so I could like change my music so easily. But yeah, I put on my like last little bit song and then I was up the hill and then across the finish line. It was awesome. Yeah, it was a great experience. I like started to get like chills. I was so excited. And then like the little bit, like the little half mile walk, like by myself after, I was just kind of like reflecting and like, I was obviously trying to find my mom and my family. But yeah, it was just a great experience. I had like strangers taking pictures of like, I was like, can you take my picture? And then we'd like take pictures of each other. So it was really fun.
Cute.
Love yeah.
that. Yeah, sweet. And then the walk home was probably not
Yeah.
super fun, but you said you
Honestly,
stayed 2 miles away.
in hindsight, it was lovely for my recovery. Like, I
Oh,
think
for
like
sure.
I would have been so dead. But everyone was like, are you okay? Do we need to slow down? I'm like, yeah, if you have to ask, the answer is yes. Like, we need to slow down. But honestly, I was just like yapping up a storm the entire way back with like my whole little cheer squad. Because everyone was like asking me a ton of questions. And I had apparently like we apparently missed each other like twice. So we were trying to figure out like how we missed each other. But yeah, it was great. And then obviously I've just like the best support system. So there everyone was like texting me and seeing how I was doing. So yeah, it was great.
Love it. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, we'll talk about kind of like what's coming up next for you and all that. But I do like to ask for a piece of advice. If you're thinking about somebody that's like running, about to run their first marathon or training for their first marathon right now, what's some advice you might offer them from your experience?
I think I heard that like the marathon is like the reward for the training block. I think just like the big advice that I would say is like you've already done the work. It's like time to like reward yourself with the marathon. I know it's like hard to say in that way because it's just like such a big accomplishment and like such a big distance. It's like very daunting, especially for someone that hasn't done a marathon before, but just like don't be hard on yourself. Be gentle on yourself. Like you've put in the work. The fact that you like even signed up is just like incredible. And the fact that you're about to go do it, even if you have to walk a majority of it, even if you stop at every water station, like it's a marathon through and through. So, I think just like be proud of your journey and where you started and be like, be realistic with where you're at, but also just like treat it with such positivity that you're like unable to have those negative thoughts.
Love that. Yeah, that's perfect. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, we'll talk about some of our fun questions at the end, but before we do that, what talk about Berlin. So you're doing charity again. I know you said before we started,
Yeah.
but what's different about this training block from your first experience?
Yeah, so when I ran Chicago, I think it was like the next day or like the week after, I like very terrible timing, but I had like a very, very tough week at work, like the week after the marathon. So I was like literally glued to my desk, like physically and mentally for the week after. But a couple of my friends were like planning on signing up for Berlin and doing like applying for spots through charities or like doing the lottery. And so they were like waiting to ask me like after they like heard how Chicago went. And then I like finished and I was like, well, like I really like that, so I guess I have to do another one. And so then I just like started doing research on charities like probably a couple weeks after. And one of my friends is like trying to hit all the majors. So she is like, well, we're all doing a girls trip to Berlin. And like, we have like a bunch of people coming. There's like, I think like 11 of us or something that are
Oh,
all
wow, that's
going.
so
And
fun.
there's four of us running. So it'll be like a big group trip, like very different than Chicago. And I am not that experienced at international travel. So a little bit more variable, but I'm just so excited to do it again. Yeah, I'm just so excited. And I'm raising money for the Team Red, White, and Blue charity for veterans. My partner's in the military and a lot of my family are veterans. So just another cause that like means a lot to me. So I'm grateful I get to raise money again.
Awesome. Cool. And I'm going to put Sierra's charity in the show notes below. So if you have the means to donate, please do. But that's so exciting. Where are you at in your training block right now?
So I did 18 this morning. I felt great. I have been like getting no sleep all week. So I was going to do 19, but decided to take a chill pill and do 18. And then I have 20 next week. So pretty daunting. 2-0 next week. And then I have a down week. And then it's peak week. So I think I'm like 6 weeks out right now.
Yeah.
Feeling good, feeling strong. I'm doing a lot of things differently than last year, but not in like a I didn't do. And I didn't do a lot last year, like just different. I think I've been incorporating more strength training. I've been like more focused on fueling, like purposeful fueling. And yeah, there's a lot. I have a couple friends like also doing marathons in the fall, so it's like fun to like commiserate over the long runs. I work
Yeah.
at a 45 gym, so I have a lot of friends that are like doing Chicago and doing New York, so it's fun to like see where everyone is in the training. I didn't realize Berlin was so early, so much
Yeah.
earlier than all the rest of them, so it's really fun that I get to do everything before everybody else, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad it's going well so far. What do you feel like is like if you boil down like one thing about you as a runner that you feel like changed from, your first marathon to your second marathon, what do you think is like, changed about you maybe like more mindset wise?
Honestly, I feel like just like with my confidence, I feel like I've always had a little bit of like mental grit and mental toughness, which my friends are like very aware and they like love to tell me that, which I need the reminders constantly. So I really appreciate that they do that. But I think just like the confidence that like I can do it and like I am like very in tune with my body and like how I feel. Yeah, I think just like my confidence and like I've done this before, I can do it again. When I start to have those doubts, I also think like having the doubts and like having the bag long runs, like last year I had like that bag 16 miler and I was like, wow, that was the longest ever done and it really felt terrible. Like, I don't know if I can do this. But I also think like you have to have those thoughts to like if it's all positive the whole time, like as positive as I try to be, like you can't be positive the whole time. Like it there has to be some negativity and you have to learn how to battle that negativity to like be able to succeed, I think. So everything that like comes up in the block, I'm like, today's run is a little tough. I just felt super weak in the middle, but then I was like, you know what? Like this is all part of the plan. Like it's all supposed to be like this. It all plays a factor whether you have like a bad long run or like a good long run. So it's all part of the plan. So I think that is what helps, like the confidence in like the range of runs.
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, I relate to that a lot from my first to my second. It's like you start to realize that every run is like information for that you can use. And so it's not the end of the
Exactly.
world. If, you have a bad run, it's like, okay, well, let's look into this. Did I sleep well last night? Did I feel well? Is it just like
Yeah.
today wasn't my day? You can kind of like look at it more critically. And I also felt like I took a lot more, I don't know if you feel like this now because you're going through your second marathon, but like for my second, I felt like I took a lot more of my emotion out of it. I was like, first one was so emotional. And the second one was like, okay, this is what I need to do. Like I've got this. I don't know
Yeah.
if you feel like that, but
For sure.
yeah. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about some of our fun questions to wrap up here. So we're going to talk about fuel and shoes. Anytime we talk about fuel and shoes, I always give the disclaimer that this is very much your own journey. So when it comes to fuel, try everything and anything and figure out what works best for you. Same thing for shoes. Go to your local running store, use that return policy, try out everything and anything, and find out what's best for you. But that's my spiel for you. What have you liked for fuel over time?
Fuel, I started off with just like two. I did like the BPN Go Gels, the apple cinnamon and the mango, and then I did the goos. I don't really love like the fruity goos. I like the weird ones, like the espresso and the chocolate and the caramel. They just feel like more of a treat. But then this block I've just like incorporated. I had like a Morton one time and I liked that. And then I had like a honey stinger, like the honey flavor this morning, and that was like fine. So I think I've just gotten more used to the fuels, but I normally stick with like the they're not savory. I don't know why I call them the savory goos, but like the weirder flavor goos. And
Yeah, not like
then
the citrusy ones.
yeah. And then the let me see. The Go Gels. And then I like the Huma ones as well, the chia seed ones too. So I switch it
Awesome.
up a little bit.
Cool. And then anything, what do you like in your bottle, like electrolyte wise?
I just do water in my little handheld, and then I have like the electrolyte tabs, the salt stick.
Oh, yes.
I
Yeah.
keep like a little tiny packet in there, and then I wrestle with the packet every like 2 miles, so or 2 miles in between gels.
Yeah. Cool. And what about shoes? What have you liked for shoes?
I have only run in the Saucony guides since I was like 14. It's just what works for me. I went to like Phidippides and Big Beach Running Co. Those are like big running stores in Atlanta, and got tested for those like a while ago, and they just really work for me. I have them on like the Amazon notification when they drop below a certain price. I go buy them because I know I'm going to use
Oh,
them. So right
smart.
now,
Oh,
I have like
smart.
three pair of the same shoe. I just got like the new like, or I guess they're not new. They did like a collab with Keith Haring, so they're like fun and like polka dots at the bottom. So they're really fun, but I really like those shoes. And then I forgot what model it's exactly for the racing shoes, but they're Saucony Endorphin something. I'm not sure, but yeah, I've been a Saucony gal, so I've just stayed brand loyal.
Love it. Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you again for walking us through your story. We love a first marathon story where everything works out the way
Yeah.
that it's planned. But I'm super excited to see how Berlin works out for you. It sounds like you've got pretty big plans for that. If anybody wants to kind of follow along with you in your journey, where can they find you?
Yeah, of course, I'm on Instagram at Sierra.Vaughn, and then obviously track me in Berlin. A lot of the websites are in German, but they have English translations, obviously. But yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I've been lucky to have like such a wonderful and positive running marathon experience. And yeah, I just have such great like memories and like of my childhood and of high school and my like high school friends of running. And so it's fun to just like relive that in adulthood. And just like, it's just such a positive outlet for me. So just trying to spread the love.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you again. And yeah, we'll see how everything works out through the end of this year.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.